Friends, I want to speak to you this evening concerning something that we have thought about from last week, and so this is the second message on this passage, and that is about responding to Christ's birth. How do you respond to Christ's birth? So I spoke last week about this, the first part of it, learning from these shepherds. Actually, how was it that they went to see Christ, and how was it that they remembered the birth of Christ? What happened? What does the scripture say? It is so important for us to bring our mind always to the Bible on all of these things. What are your thoughts about the incarnation? What do we mean by incarnation? That means the birth of Jesus Christ. The incarnation of God in the flesh. The coming of the Son of God. How do people truly respond when they hear that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was born? Does it affect you? Does it grip you? That actually God has entered into this world. That He has come to touch the lives of men and women and boys and girls, as He has said. This is how much He has loved us. God the Father has loved this world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And so this passage is only one angle. It's only one description of what was taking place. It was an amazing night. It's so many things surrounds the event of the birth of Jesus Christ. But here we have been looking at these individuals, these shepherds, and God revealing Himself to them. That's what you and I need. Why is it that some people just carry on? They are not really Christian. They would carry on coming to a place of worship like this, and they carry on in that way. Why is it they continue when they hear a faithful message week after week? It's because they have not yet had that revelation of God to their soul. Like these shepherds, they were sitting there ignorant. Have we sat in ignorance? I have to say, I sat for 2 years in ignorance of Jesus Christ. I liked those things that I read. I liked those hymns that I sang. I liked the things that I heard, but I wasn't yet converted until God had to strip away all the issues of my sin and show me that I needed only Jesus Christ. I had to lay down all of my pride and all of the things that I was holding on to. That's what you need. That's what I need. So how do you respond faithfully, truthfully, genuinely to the birth of Jesus Christ, this message? And we have looked at the various steps that these shepherds made when the angels appeared to them, when the angel announced what had happened that night, that night in the city of David, the Savior was born. And he said to them that this is how you will find him. This is the sign. When you go, you will find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And they took some steps, and we looked at two of those steps. We learned that one of the ways that they responded to this message, this news that Christ had been born, was that they calculated the truths about his birth. They weighed it up as they had heard these things. And that's what you find in verses 15 and 16. They were saying, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So they weighed it up in their mind. They calculated things. They thought through things. And they said, "Let's go and check this out. Let's go and find out for ourselves. I don't want to be just a hearer of it. I don't want to listen to what people say and just accept what people say. I need to see it for myself." And that's what we are encouraging you to. Not just accept what you are hearing, but go and seek the Lord and find out for yourself. And don't give up. Don't be discouraged. But to continue on pursuing after knowing Jesus Christ. Who is he really? And that's what they did. They calculated this event. They considered all that they heard and they assessed it and they said, "Let's go and see for ourselves what the Lord is doing." And with that, they began this search for the Messiah. So that's we said the response would be, the right response would be, you calculate it and you go and find out. The second thing then was this. The right response would be to contemplate the truth of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Contemplate. And this is what they did, the shepherds did. In verses 17 to 20, the shepherds went to Bethlehem and they found the baby Jesus lying in a manger, just like the angel had said he would be. And when they had seen it for themselves, they headed back to their own sheep, to the things that they were doing. In verse 17, it says, And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When the people in Bethlehem heard the news of the Messiah's birth, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Bible says as well in verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They were amazed. They were marveling at this. They were astonished at this truth. And another person who pondered over this, contemplated this, was Mary as well. But Mary, it says in verse 19, kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So she gathered up all her thoughts about what God had said about the Messiah, all the prophecies that would happen to this Messiah that will come. And she brought it all together. She thought about it, who he will be, and so on. And that was her response. And that was the response of those people in Bethlehem. And that was the response of those shepherds. Is that how you respond? So much talking goes on in the name of the birth of Jesus Christ. So much time is spent in doing things in the name of the birth of Jesus Christ. But how have you made this past few days? How much have you actually pondered? What did you talk about yesterday? I would challenge you. Was it actually about Jesus? That's important. Now, let us think about two more things. Two more things. So, the third thing is this. They celebrated it. They celebrated it. And that's what you find in verse 20. So again, going with that, with C's, calculated, they contemplated, they celebrated. This is how you respond. Look at verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. So if we want to respond rightly to Christ's birth and in a God-honoring and useful way, then we need to calculate it, we need to think through it, we need to weigh things up, we need to ponder over it, and we need to celebrate it. Well, what is the best way to do this? We should celebrate it just like the shepherds did. They did it how? With their lips. They glorified God. This is how they celebrated. They glorified God. This is how they remembered Christ's birth. They glorified God. They praised God. Is that what you do? Is that what I do? Is that my response to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the good way to celebrate. And so it removes every other thing from our view. This is what celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ is. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. You see, you can't really celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ until you have actually heard and seen and experienced the salvation that he brings. They were talking about praising God for the things that they have actually experienced. And that's what you need as well. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So they heard the message. They went and saw it for themselves and they praised God for what they had seen. So they calculated the value of the message. They determined that it was worth looking into They contemplated all they had seen and trusted in this baby Jesus as the Messiah and the Christ of God. They believed on him. But what really caused them to break out in praise was that it was as it was told to them. It was exactly what God had revealed. And when you think about these things, when you calculate the Lord's message and you contemplate it, you actually spend time to really seriously, prayerfully, you think about what the Bible is revealing to us, you will find that every word the Lord has spoken to you about Jesus Christ is absolutely true. And when you discover that his word is true, you will want to celebrate it. You want to remember that. You want to praise God. You want to glorify God. So this spirit of celebration and praise is also contagious. Others wanted to praise. It wasn't just one shepherd. They were all doing it together. And so, friends, with all the sadness in this world, the Christian, with all of his pains, can yet sing praises to God. And we can still give thanks to God. I don't really care what your situation may be. And we all have our own sadness. And some of you, I know you're going through great troubles and great trials and pains and difficulties and confusions in your life. But if you are Jesus Christ, if you have experienced this love of Christ and is coming into this world, you can still sing his praises. My life is sad and bad, but he's still good and great. We can sing and we can praise him. We can celebrate and remember him every day and every moment, because every day and every moment we need him. And so that's how it is. It doesn't matter what you go through. Your praise and your glorifying of God doesn't depend on your circumstances. We worship him because he's worthy of our praise. And you think about the Christian, your life is hidden. Your life is hid with God in Christ. That's what it is. Or the text is, our lives are hid with Christ in God. Friends, Jesus Christ came as a babe, and yet he was the incarnate God. He is the incarnate God. He is that word that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is not a humanized God. You have to bear that in mind. He's not a humanized God, and he is not a deified man. He's not just a human being that has God features. No. He's both fully God and fully man in one person. He's God who took on the nature of man. He came with the mission to pay the debt, which meant every word, every act, every thought that he had was perfect, without any sin, but purely righteous. Purely, he came as the sinner's representative and head, instead of us sinners. And you think about it, even today, was your thought perfect? Was your thought life pure completely? Was there no sin? No. That every day that we go through this life, we sin against God day by day. We break his commands. We break our own standards. Morally, spiritually, we sin. And yet Jesus Christ went through all of his life and he never sinned. Not a mere crumb of sin. And what happened to him? Even though he was perfect, he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled, separate from sinners, yet he experienced the greatest punishment that you haven't yet experienced. He experienced the greatest pain and the wrath of God upon himself. Do you really appreciate that? This was the mission of his birth. He experienced the hell, the fires of hell of God's wrath upon himself when he was dying on the cross. That's why even the sky became black. Even the heavens shut its curtain against the Son of God. He was humiliated by having his sinless body placed in a human tomb among sinners too. But all was done for our salvation. That is how much he is loved. And this is why Jesus Christ is worthy of our remembrance, is worthy of our celebration every day and every week and every moment of our lives, to thank Him every day, to praise His name every day. And as we come together, every Christian Sabbath, which is every Lord's Day, what do we do? What's the purpose of our coming? It's to worship Him. That's so important. It is the most essential thing. It is more important than your food and drink, to glorify God and to praise His name. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. It is the good news, my friends, that we hear when we sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing." It is the good news to our ears when we think about this joy that has come to this world, and maybe not to every single person. Has this joy of salvation come to you? This good news of the gospel ought to fill sinners' heart with cheer. A lost world, you see, doesn't really celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is those who have tasted of His salvation must be doing this every day, which is the great witness to this world, my friend. You want to bear witness of Jesus Christ if you're a Christian? You bear witness of Him every day, joyfully. Praise God for the things that He has done for your soul. Do you see? Do you celebrate Christ's birth in the way the shepherds did? So much to celebrate. You have so much to thank God for, because God hasn't shown us just the baby Jesus, as these shepherds experienced. They only saw the baby Jesus. But you don't see just the baby Jesus in Scriptures. You see His life. You see His words. You see His works. You see His healings. You see His death upon the cross. You see how they buried Him in sinner's tomb. You see how then on the third day the stone was rolled away. You see the empty tomb. You see Him appearing to the disciples. You see Him speaking to them, teaching them, encouraging them. He says to Thomas, "Behold my hands and my feet." All of these things. The shepherds didn't hear or see them. So how much more you have reason to praise God for and celebrate Him? How much more? To think that He loved us more than His own life and reputation. He loved us more than people praising Him then, as He was dying on the cross, when He was being mocked and ridiculed and swore at by those sinners around Him. He loved us so much that He would die rather than keep His reputation. And the Bible says in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned." Where did they return to? They returned to what they had left when they went to find Jesus. They returned to their work of watching over their sheep. They returned to their homes. They returned to their families. They returned to their friends. What an impact these men must have had as they remembered and as they rejoiced over and told people, "Have you seen what has happened? Have you heard what has happened? We have seen, we have heard, and we are rejoicing. We are so thankful. God, what He has said is true. It's all come to pass." You see, this is all historical events that took place. This is not fairy tale. No, not at all. And they had only seen the baby Jesus. Like the man who was delivered of the legion of demons when he wanted to leave his own country to follow the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." Go and tell others. Go and celebrate this. Go and tell others and remember what He has done and tell them about it exactly as He has done. What the Lord hath done for thee. What God has done. What Jesus had done it. That means the Lord Jesus is God. And that's what He did. That's what that man did. The Bible says, "And he departed," that man, "he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." That's in Mark 5:20. So what are you celebrating? What are you remembering? What are you rejoicing over? Are you really rejoicing about Jesus Christ? Is it that through Christ your sins are forgiven and you're rejoicing that your names are written in heaven? Is that what you're rejoicing over? That you have eternal life? What an amazing truth is. Isn't life meaningless and empty? Maybe that is you today. Some of you, maybe.
You are going through and you just don't know what's happening. Monday comes, Tuesday, and just goes so quickly. And you had various hopes, various desires, and it's really not come to pass.
You're just carrying on with the mundane things of life, and you really don't know what's going to happen.
What is happening in your life? What's happening in this world?
And life is meaningless. And that is so. That is true. It would be without that purpose that only God would show you. Life is meaningless. Even when you fill it with all sorts of material things, with people, with noises, with sounds, with all of these things, it will be still meaningless.
And more what you feel is the guilt of sin. You feel awful about yourself. You think, what kind of a person, what kind of a man I am? What kind of a woman I am? What kind of a child I am? You sense it all.
You're empty. Even though you're filled with all of these things, you're empty without our God and empty without the experience of sins forgiven. May God help you to do the same thing. May you return to your homes, your families, your work, your studies, your environment, wherever you are, to remember, to celebrate, to rejoice over the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you have come to know Him. And to know Him personally. Who has more reason to celebrate Jesus than those who have been redeemed by Him in all the seasons of life? Praise God for that. But the final thing is this. So we are to calculate it. We are to contemplate it. We are to celebrate it. But the fourth thing is this. And we get that from verse 17. We are to circulate it. We are to circulate it. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The shepherds came to Bethlehem. They witnessed this newborn Messiah for themselves. They left the manger. They left and headed out of that city. And the Bible says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Everywhere, that means. Everywhere. Wherever they went. They made known. The saying which was told them concerning this child. Jesus spoke about the message that was given. So these men had looked upon God in the flesh. They had seen the one who was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. These men had heard the witness of the heavenly angels. They calculated what they heard. They contemplated it. They celebrated it. They were singing His praises and filled with joy, and they wanted to circulate it. They wanted to pass it on. They wanted others to know as well. They wanted others to see the same things, to experience the same joy. This is the way Christians, true Christians, believers, can truly respond to Christ's birth.
Or it is a half response.
These shepherds, you see, they are living in a harsh world. There was excessive oppression from the Roman government. It was a world desperate for hope, and so it was a world of great confusion because people lacked direction. The Lord Jesus Christ, later on, He saw them and he said that they're like sheep having no shepherd. They're guideless. They're without direction. They don't know, they have no hope for today and no hope for a better tomorrow. So, and it was a world rocked by religious controversies and religious things. There had been no direct word from God for 400 years since the prophet Malachi. There was silence. God did not speak to them for 400 years. It was a world of intense conflict because of the people who were suffering under the whip of the cruel Romans and the harsh demands of their religious leaders. You see, they had all these Pharisees who wouldn't lift a finger, the Lord Jesus said, and yet they told them many, many traditions of men. And it was into that hard, defeated world, the dark world, that Jesus Christ came to shine. It was a world like much like our own. And my friends, our world is like this, reeling
under the pain of sin, confused, controversies abound, questions of all sorts of things, conflicts amongst people, between children and their parents and so on, and between the government and its people, and all sorts of things. That's the kind of a world in which Jesus Christ came. And yet, he came to deal with the issue of sin. That's the big problem. Joseph Hart, he wrote in these words, "No less almighty at his birth than on his throne supreme, his shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him." That's the one who came as a babe. And these people saw this great Jesus Christ. And yet they saw him just as a babe, and it affected their life like this. Some 30 years later, Jesus would stand with his men some 8 miles away, just outside the walls of Jerusalem, and he would say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said, if you want to get to God, you must come through me. You must trust in me. He is the way. He is the answer to all the confusion in life. He gives life its direction. He offers hope to the hopeless. He is the truth. He is the answer to all of life's controversies. He brings eternal absolutes. He is the truth. He brings eternal absolutes into our confused lives. He tells us what we should and should not believe. He gives his people something real to hold on to. That's what Jesus Christ does. He is the truth and he is the life. He is the answer to all our conflicts, and he brings true hope to all those who believe in him. He removes the penalty of sin, which is your problem and my problem. He removes the sting of death. He promises his people everlasting life. He makes all the difference, friends, between heaven and hell. And that's good news to the shepherds. And that's what these men were circulating. The Messiah has come. The Savior has been born. That's what they were circulating 2,000 years ago. The Bible speaks loudly to us in these. God chose a group of shepherds on the hill outside of Bethlehem to first circulate the message of salvation. Just stop for a minute and think about that. The shepherds were outcasts in that society. Because of their work, they were considered unclean, and they were not allowed to worship in the temple with God's people. They were notorious for their sinful lifestyles, and they were considered unreliable people. And so they were not allowed to testify at trial. Yet God chose them to be the first to circulate it, to circulate this message, to speak about this message, to praise God and glorify God that the Savior has been born. There are probably some wealthy people. There are probably powerful men who lived closer to that manger. But God didn't choose them. There are people in the city who were prominent citizens and well known to everyone in the town. But God didn't choose them. There are wise people in Bethlehem who had the ear of all the people. But God didn't choose them. And just as he does now, God chose, the Bible says, the foolish things of the world to confound, to confuse the wise, to confuse the mighty. God used these shepherds as his spokesmen to spread the good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. So if the message comes to you from some poor person, some person who's, maybe you say, well, he's not really educated, he doesn't know much, he doesn't have experience, but if that person knows God and brings you this message, you ought to receive it. What these shepherds saw and experienced on that night has continued to this day. There are people in our world who have come to know Jesus Christ, met him by faith. And they are the ones who are the best to circulate this good news of salvation to all who will listen. But my friends, let me tell you this. There are some believers who are so wrapped up in their own lives that they hardly bear witness of this good news of the gospel. So that's a challenge to us, isn't it? And why is that? Do they really celebrate it? Do they really remember the birth of Jesus Christ and who has come, who has changed their lives. Hope that people were glad to be saved from their sins, but they don't really joy in their salvation. They certainly don't really praise the Lord for it. And why is that? It is because they have really hardly contemplated. They don't have time to think about the Lord, to think about and pray to Him in His Word. And so no wonder there is little joy in some who profess to be Christian. They've not stopped. They don't stop regularly to consider, to truly respond to the incarnate Son of God. And so they don't circulate it. They are concerned what people might think of them. They might feel some shame about it. They might fear the face of man. My friends, if you come and meditate and experience the Son of God, and if you fear only Him, then you won't fear man. If you love Him above anything and everything else, then you won't fear man. Arthur Pink puts it, here are shepherds who are called to come to this stable. Why this stable? Because there was no room elsewhere in the town. The response of others was apathy and no interest. In verse 7, we learn this. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He was laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. How solemnly this brings out the world's estimate of the Christ of God. That's the estimate of people of Jesus Christ even today. Arthur Pink says this again. There was no appreciation of His amazing condescension. He was not wanted. It is so still. There is no room for Him in the schools, in society, in the business world, among the great throngs of pleasure seekers, in the political realm, in the newspapers, nor in many of the churches. It is only history repeating itself. All the world gave the Savior was a stable for His soul, a cross on which to die, and a borrowed grave to receive His murdered body. And this man rose 70, 80 years ago. And do you want to respond truly and honestly to Christ's birth now and ever? If you do, you need to think seriously about this, what we have been talking about. Do you like the shepherds? Add it up, contemplate it. Check it out for yourself. Go and find out and seek Him until you actually find Him for yourself. Are you thinking, pondering, just going over these matters in your mind, reading the scriptures, considering, praying, oh Lord, open my eyes to see these things? Are you serious about this? And then when you find Him, what do? Do you celebrate it? Do you rejoice every single day of your life? Rejoice in what God has given you, that He has given you Jesus Christ. Live for His glory, dear friends. Praise Him, dear friends, for what He has done. Align your life to His will in the Bible. Obey His voice as it's recorded in every word of God. Follow Him, whatever the painful cost may be. And then you circulate it. You tell others about it. You're not concerned about how they receive the message. The issue is that we are responsible to tell others about the Lord. You have a tract, you give it out. You have an opportunity, you speak about what God has done for you, how He has saved you, what kind of a man you were, and that what people see now is not what you used to be. And then you tell them about the Savior. Tell others that what the Lord has done. Of course, if you will take the time to do this, you will not be able to keep yourself Savior. If you are like the shepherd before they met the Lord Jesus and you are lost in your sins still, think on these things, friends. Come and see for yourselves. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even today, by faith we come. We draw near to God. And He has said He will save you. And He will give you something to think about, something to contemplate, something to celebrate, something to circulate. So Lord, pray to the Lord for this and ask the Lord to work in you